96.9 Bob FM.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Kansas is coming to Pittsburgh as part of the Jukebox Heroes 2020 tour, along with Foreigner and Europe. And boy, it's going to be a great show out at S&T Bank Music Park on August 2nd. And on the phone right now, all the way, I believe, from Wichita, Kansas, we've got Kansas bassist and vocalist Billy Greer. Thanks for talking to us, Billy.
Well, you're close, and it's Wichita, but it's the wrong state, isn't it? Wichita Falls, Texas.
Oh, okay. I got my Wichitas crossed.
You got your Wichitas all wrong there. Yeah.
So what does a day of a concert look like for you? Do you have any pre-show rituals, or what do you typically do to get ready before a show?
Well, it's just, you know, typical rock star stuff. I sit here and I've been watching reruns of Gold Rush on Discovery Channel.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Golden Girls. I was a little worried for a minute.
No. I had lunch with a friend. I've got friends scattered all over the country since we've toured so much over the years. I've got a couple of good friends in about every town. So I had lunch with a friend, came back, and watching the reruns. Now, after I do this interview, I'll probably iron my shirt and get ready for tonight's gig.
You really are doing the rock star thing, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. it's just like, you know, if you ever lean back in a chair and you almost fell and you caught yourself, you know that feeling?
Uh-huh.
I feel like that all the time.
That's you all the time. I like that.
Yeah, it's such a great feeling.
Well, you've been with Kansas for, is it 35 years now?
It'd be 35 years in July, yeah. So we're calling it 35 since we're, you know, kind of close, coming up on July.
Well, when you think back and when you reminisce, what comes to mind about the first time you took the stage and played with Kansas? That had to be an amazing experience.
It was in oh so many ways. First of all, we were playing, we went out of the country, we went to Puerto Rico, which is actually part of the country. But anyway, we played at the Roberto Clemente Coliseum in San Juan, Puerto Rico with 38 Special. And I remember it was like a sold out show. It was, you know, it was our first gig. And we went on, and all of a sudden, as soon as the lights went down, the fireworks literally started, the bottle rockets, and they were shooting off stuff inside the arena. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was quite an experience. But, well, it was just, it's like, you know, you think to yourself, I made it, you know,
yeah.
this is my goal.
Was that intimidating, or were you just locked in and ready to go by showtime? I mean,
it was scary, you know, for me. I mean, probably for everyone. I usually have the same anxieties and stage fright at the very first show or a couple shows of a tour when you know you're trying things for the first time, or you know, playing things and you want the show to go good, and you know, you read probably way too much into the crowd and the reaction and stuff like that. But you know, after so many years now, we're at the point in this tour, for example, where it's like I walk on stage and probably my heart rate may speed up a little bit. By the end of the show, I'm pumping so much adrenaline that I can hardly talk to the crowd.
Yeah.
But it was exciting for me, you know.
Yeah. Would I be correct to assume you were probably a fan of Kansas before you ever imagined you'd be in the band, right? Yeah.
Oh, but before I joined the band, I'd probably played Carry On and, you know, Point of No Return more than they had in my cover band, you know, because I was doing it 5-6 nights a week, you know.
Yeah.
Week after week after week after week, you know, in club bands. So, and we'd play those songs at least a couple times a night. You know?
Yeah. So, can you imagine if you could go back and tell that guy he would be in Kansas at some point?
No.
That would be amazing.
Absolutely not. But for some reason, I held on to this dream that, yeah, I might make it. You know, I could do this. I'm going to do this. And really committed myself.
Yeah.
You know, even taking myself away from my comfort zone and my hometown and my support group, you know, my family and stuff. And I think that's what kind of, you know, gave me an edge. You know, people ask me all the time about, yeah, what do you have to do to make it? Well, you have to commit yourself, and you have to put yourself in the right position and hopefully a streak of luck will happen that someone will notice you and, you know, give you a shot. So that's kind of what happened to me.
Well, they obviously did. You replaced Dave Hope when he left the band back then. Did you have to audition for the job, or did everybody just know your work and know that you would be the perfect fit? How did that go?
Well, here's what happened. You know, Steve Walsh quit the band. He left, decided he's going to form his own band. And he did that. And it was called Streets. And I auditioned for that band, for Streets. He was looking for a bass player. I had my own band in Atlanta. It was an all-original music band. And there, at that time, there was a music scene that would kind of support, you know, all-original acts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was living in Atlanta. You know, we came really close to getting a record deal because we had like this one song that was a regional hit. And so we had a good name in town, and Steve came out and heard me play. We had run the gamut, the band I was in called QB1. We had auditioned for record companies, and everybody said, well, we like the one song, but you know, you're not deep enough right now. Yeah. Come back another year or so when you got more material. So, mm-hmm. That, you know. We were about to break up. The money had run out that we had gotten a publishing deal with a guy. So before I went home, you know, Steve Walsh came out to see the band, and he offered me an audition with Streets. And that's how I got in that band. You know, we did a couple of records on Atlantic Records, had some limited success with that band, mm-hmm. A couple of top 40 hits on AOR radio. And then the band broke up, and I went back home and thought, well, gosh, you know, what am I going to do now? Go back and play the clubs again, I guess. And then I got a call from Phil about a year later. Kerry and Dave had left Kansas to form the band, Christian rock band, AD. And John Alfonte had left as well. So him and Rich wanted to put the band back together, and they got Steve to come back. They talked him into coming back, and Steve Morris on guitar. And Phil called me up and asked me if I'd like to join the band. I said, you betcha.
Wow. What a call to get, man.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, a few weeks later, Steve Morris flies into my little hometown in East Tennessee, and his private plane, he has a little twin-engine Cessna, and picks me up and takes me back to Atlanta.
Oh, man. Well, now, after all the years that you've been touring with the band, I'm sure you've had some unusual experiences during shows. What's the weirdest or most unexpected thing that's happened during a Kansas show?
Well, we used to have this surface that we carried in the first couple of tours I did with Kansas called Marley. You put it on the stage. It's like a film, a thick film with kind of pads, and, you know, it just makes it look real neat, covers up any stage blemishes or any kind of, you know, things you might trip over, kind of like just a really thick piece of rubber or plastic, you know.
So your feet have some grip that, yeah.
Yeah, but just so happens that if it gets any moisture on it, it becomes ice. Oh. Well, it becomes as slick as ice.
Oh, man. I think I see where this is going.
I had these nice new boots with, you know, shiny leather bottoms.
Oh, and, no.
And there was that one point of the show where Steve Morris and I, we run up and he jumps on one, you know, we had all this choreography going on. At one point of the show, he jumps on one corner of the drum riser and I jump on the other, and it's clear plexiglass riser, so we had lights coming up from underneath Phil's drum riser, and I jumped up on the corner and my feet just went straight up in the air.
Oh.
And I almost killed myself.
Oh.
So that was embarrassing too. That was on my first tour. Another time, there's some moisture spilled it, taking a sip and spill something around my microphone stand and just busted my ass big time. You know,
oh,
running
yeah.
back over to my microphone.
Oh man. I'm sure it happens.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Things like that will keep you up, you know, when you're on your deathbed, you know, wake up screaming in the middle of the night or something. That's what I'm gonna remember.
It's funny how we remember those things, but other people don't even remember that, you know. But it's you lay in bed at night awake and thinking about it.
Yeah. But the most memorable things for me and probably the rest of the band too is we've done a few USO tours where we've gone around the world playing
oh, yeah.
for the troops
mm-hmm.
On Air Force bases and, you know, NATO bases around the world, even been out to sea on ships for like 8 or 9 days at a time with a whole fleet, you know, to play the carrier, like a carrier group, you know, and play the carrier and then bounce around with on helicopters to each ship and play a show and spend the night and, you know, hang out with the sailors. And then at the end of it, we got shot off the aircraft carrier.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So just things like that, that you normal people, that normal civilians don't really get a chance to do that.
When you sign up to be in a band, you don't expect you're going to be getting shot off an aircraft carrier at any point.
Or be able to drive an M1 tank in Germany.
Oh, man.
I did that. I got to get in a F-15 simulator, flight simulator.
Wow.
Morse being the pilot, he had some experience. So, you know, he was the pilot and I was his co-pilot. And, you know, we locked on and shot down a bogey. I think this was in Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. So we literally went around the world and we had other bands with us, or parts of other bands. A couple guys from the Doobie Brothers, a couple guys from Pablo Cruz, and, you know, Cheap Trick and stuff like that. Then it was just a great time. It was absolutely one of the most fulfilling things that we've ever done musically. And, you know, just, you know, you feel like you've done something good to help the morale of the troops around the world.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
When you go out now on stage, do you have any songs that you just, what are your favorites to play? Like, you just can't wait to play it. Or do you have any of those songs that you just can't wait to tear into?
Well, one of my favorite songs that we do is Miracles Out of Nowhere. For a couple of reasons, it's just so dynamic. It's got so many different parts to it, and it stops and it starts and it slows down and it speeds up, and it's loud and bombastic and rock and roll, and it's so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And,
yeah.
You know? And that's one, and the lyrics are just outstanding. And, you know, that's one of my favorite songs. Song for America, as I tell everybody, I'm the speaker, you know.
You're the MC, right?
MC for the band.
Yeah.
So I tell the folks, this is one of our favorite songs to play. It's one of the longest songs we play, but it's also, we have to step our game a little bit to play this song, because it's kind of difficult and has some difficult time signatures and riffs that you play during those difficult time signatures.
Yeah.
That you can't be thinking about doing your taxes while you're doing this
right.
song.
Right. Got to be focused.
You've got to focus on the music. And now we're playing yet an even harder song. It's a song from the, you know, we're still doing the 40th anniversary Point and Overturn tour. We're still on that. We don't finish up with that till the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're taking it to Europe for a month. But there's a song off that album, off Point and Overturn, called The Spider. If you don't realize how difficult, take a listen to that. It's just one. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
That, you know, Carry On always gets a fantastic, you know, reception. So that's always something to look forward to. We always end our show with that. And it always gets the people on their feet, and a good way to say that's it. Thank you, folks, and good night.
It's funny how many different places you find Kansas music through the years. Vinyl, 8-tracks, cassettes, CDs, downloads. What's the strangest place you have had Kansas music pop up? Maybe when you didn't expect it, or you it surprised you. You're like, oh, whoa, what's going on?
Well, during our 40th anniversary year, we actually, it was pretty much a world tour. We went to Europe, we went to Japan, we, you know, all over the States, Canada, and then we did an entire run down in South America. And seeing people down there not necessarily know all the deep track cuts on the albums, but kids, you know, 16 years old that knew, sang along with Dust in the Wind.
Right.
And Carry On Wayward Son. That was some of the most surprising stuff, is just how big of a worldwide hit those songs are and have been and remain today after so many years.
Well,
actually, you know, an interesting fact, I was talking with my friend at lunch again. When we did the fan appreciation concert for the 40th year anniversary in Pittsburgh, at the Benenum.
The Benenum Center, right.
Yeah, the Benenum Center.
Yep.
We did it there, and Carey came out, and, you know, we tried to get all the original guys to at least sit in and do one, two songs. Robbie was in the hospital, so he's the only one that didn't make it. But Carey was presented with a couple of awards at that show. And this has been 5 or 6 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think seven. But the Record Industry Association came out and presented him with two awards, one for Dust in the Wind, one for Carry On Wayward Son, to show that, to commemorate that each of those songs, if they were put on a tape loop, they had been played so many times that each song would last over 5 years. So
that's amazing.
And that's just, you know, documented airplays on
right.
radio that have been counted. No telling how many times it's been covered by, you know, nitwits like myself and other struggling musicians around the country.
Well, and you think there's even kids that have, you know, they would pick up the Guitar Hero game and they're playing it on mm-hmm. there and they're
there
exposed to it there, and there's more plays of it there. By the way, I got pretty good at playing Kansas songs on that back in the day. And if anybody gets sick and you need me to step in, I can fill in.
Have you seen the South Park episode of Carry On Wayward Son and
no.
Garage Band or Rock? Yeah. You need to watch that.
They had the kids playing that on there?
The kids are playing Guitar Hero or whatever, where you got the little plastic guitar.
Yeah.
They're doing Carry On Wayward Son. And the dad thinks he's going to be really cool. And he said, "You kids like that song?" And he goes and gets his guitar and he starts actually playing the song. And everybody's going to say, "Oh, stop that. You suck."
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, that would be a surprise to see it pop up mm-hmm. on there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of mileage. The show Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. You know, right.
Picked up on Carry On Wayward Son and made that their unofficial theme song. And
did you guys go to Comic-Con or something for that too?
We did about 2 or 3 years ago. They had us come out. That, you know, they do Comic-Con every year. They've got such I wouldn't call it a cult following, but they have this huge throng of fans that, you know,
right,
really got into the show. And it's been around for what, 13 seasons now or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a surprise for, they do a question and answer session for their fans and have all the actors and the producers of the show. And you know, the auditorium held about 6,000 people. They had people lining up for 2 days to get into this thing.
Wow.
Not knowing that at some point they'd filmed this big trailer and, you know, the two main characters talking, so we got to do something special for our fans. And what do you think? And Webb said, "I've got just the thing." And it shows him putting a Kansas cassette into the cassette player in the car. Mm-hmm. And Betsy, the old 66 Chevy that they drive.
Right.
And all of a sudden you hear Carry On Wayward Son, the a cappella part of the vocals. And then the lights go down, and then all of a sudden we're on stage playing it.
Oh, the crowd had to go nuts. I mean,
they did. It's on YouTube, so check it out.
I'm gonna look that up. That's fantastic.
We did that, and that's gotten a lot of mileage and a lot of new younger fans.
Right.
All of a sudden, a few years ago, we started having these, you know, young teenage girls show up at our meet and greets, and I thought, what the heck? Did your father turn you on? No, we saw you on Supernatural. Oh, okay. Great.
Well, and then, you know, once that opens the door and you dig into the music, I mean, the music is timeless. I mean, it really is. I mean, you've got songs that just rock. You've got songs that are introspective. And like you mentioned, the lyrics are just smart and intelligent. I mean, the craftsmanship of the music itself, it's just fantastic. And so it's wonderful that the door can be open and then, you know, this younger generations can come in and hear it and say, yeah, oh my gosh, there's nothing like this today. I got to hear this.
I think you really nailed it when you said that the lyrics and the music, but the lyrics for sure are definitely timeless. And, you know, that people, you know, that are just growing up today and struggling to find their way can, you know, can use those lyrics and,
yeah,
and listen to them and find a path or help them find a path or some kind of solace in their search for, you know, some kind of way in the world. So,
yeah.
So they're still relevant today, you know.
Dust in the Wind comes on. How can you not be introspective? You just kind of, you know, you just, it's like you're standing in front of the ocean just thinking now, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's what a gift that song has been to this band.
Yeah.
As well as Carry On Wayward Son.
Well, we're excited to have Kansas and Western PA again. Pittsburgh loves you guys, Billy. And
hey man, I know this because even in streets, you know, when we came there, we just the love that I could feel, that, you know, because of Steve and how well respected he was, and we've always loved Pittsburgh, and that's one of our favorite cities. That's why we came there to do our 40th anniversary fan appreciation concert, is because that's kind of where the band broke, you know, when they were on tour with Queen, and they went over so well in Pittsburgh, and people just loved them. And we've gotten none but love and support from Pittsburgh over the years. So we're so grateful for that.
People still talk about how Kansas opened for Queen. I think it was Queen, and that's why it sticks on my mind earlier, Queen and Styx in Kansas at the Stanley Theater, which later became the Benedum Theater. I think that was in 74. And I remember seeing the poster for that. Tickets were going for $5 back then, Billy.
Yeah, I know. find one like that now.
Yeah.
$5 ticket.
Yeah. I mean, what a show. $5. Incredible. Well, is there anything else you want to promote about the show or any solo stuff you have going on?
Well, we're just looking forward to touring with these guys. Right now, we're finishing off the 40th anniversary, Point and Overturn anniversary tour, or whatever we're calling it, which is into its third year now. So it's, you know, the third annual Point of No Return 40th anniversary tour.
Yeah.
We just finished a new album. We have an album coming out in June, and it's all new material. It's with the new lineup, and we're, you know, really proud of that. I think it sounds awesome.
What's the name of that album?
It's called The Absence of Presence.
Okay.
And that's not a description of Christmas morning at my house when I was a kid. That's it. Means whatever you want it to mean. That's what I told Phil when he came up with that name. He brought that to the band. I said, that describes Christmas morning when I was a kid. He didn't think that was funny.
No. Anyway,
but it's The Absence of Presence, and it's got some great material on it. And it's going to be happier. That got something new to talk about, some new songs to play for the people, And again, we're just really looking forward to this tour with Europe and with Foreigner, and you know, going around the country and getting to play some bigger venues and the outdoor venues, and looking forward to it.
All right, going to be a fun night, Kansas, alongside Foreigner and Europe, August 2nd, S&T Bank Music Park. Billy, thanks, man. Really appreciate you taking the time today.
All right, John. Thank you, and thanks so much to everybody that would be hearing this. We appreciate you guys. See you then.